Jack Heller, welcome.
Thank you.
It seems the drama is building since we discussed your debut Shakespeare at Pendleton performance of Coriolanus back in 2015. So what would you say your biggest accomplishment has been in this time span?
We have completed two additional shows, one in 2017 of the all-male scenes from Much Ado About Nothing and from Midsummer Night's Dream. And then last year, our biggest show, not Shakespeare's most famous play, but we did Timon of Athens, a play about a man who loses everything. And we did the first prison performance of Timon of Athens with sets and costumes and everything last year.
That is great, because you had to keep all of that to a minimum the first year, I remember. And another pertinent topic besides being a milestone for prison presentation.
That's right.
So by now, how many cast, crew, everything you need to put on a show in your group?
There are two of us, myself and a young woman who lives in Indianapolis, that direct this. And within the Pendleton prison, with men leaving and coming in, we've had pretty regularly around 22.
Okay, and that does include growth. And a happy story, when you guys graduate, you'll gladly replace them.
That's right.
So what kind of development have you seen?
With Timon of Athens, we've had a couple of men get together and create stage sets, costumes. We've been allowed to bring in suit coats for costumes for that show. We've been allowed to bring in plastic swords.
Okay. Well, these are all big victories compared
props.
To the first year.
Mm-hmm. We're really seeing a lot of effort into doing very expanded productions. The men that are involved have become more adept at looking at the play and thinking, well, how can we do this? What can we communicate with different ideas in this text? With our comedy show, we had a lot of development on just the craft of acting, different ways of performing the characters, including adapting them to performing in a prison setting. When you have a police officer character and you cannot play a police officer, what else can you do with the character? So we investigate those kinds of questions as well.
It sounds highly creative, and really the point of having a theatrical group and in a prison setting, who knew?
Oh, yes.
So this year, it's a set of monologues and scenes that you're presenting. So what's it showcasing?
Well, what we decided to do this year was to take an educational approach rather than trying to do one play complete. We thought we'd take some time for the men to get to learn from a variety of plays. So we've had the men look through a packet that we prepared and also through any of the plays that they would be interested in and pull out some of the longer speeches that they would like to tackle individually. We have men learning lines from Richard II, Hamlet, Macbeth, Julius Caesar, some of the really well-known plays, all the way to the early tragedy of Shakespeare's Titus Andronicus, the really bloody mess of a play that is, a really very interesting character being developed from that play, and a few items from other playwrights interspersed through the show as well.
That sounds like some creativity is happening here and some independent thinking. That's all great. Almost overachievement, because that's a lot of Shakespeare. Has anybody read all of Shakespeare yet?
Some of the men are trying. The man who picked the speech from Titus Andronicus is certainly making his best effort. I think a lot of the men are reading plays on their own. I know of a man reading Julius Caesar, so they're working at it.
And do you know what your next presentation is going to be?
Well, I mentioned Julius Caesar. When we are done with monologues and scenes, we are going to start working on Julius Caesar for, we hope, 2020 performance. We're not quite a play a year, but we're getting there. I think that we'll see Julius Caesar in 2020.
It's a blockbuster. Is everybody excited? As you
seem
like you are?
I think so. I think the men are interested in working on a play they've heard of.
Okay. Again, a blockbuster appeal. Now, we hope one day to be able to visit and discuss this program with all of you and your whole group down at Pendleton. In the meantime, you took my burning question to your crew, and that is, what is the single most important thing this opportunity has given you? All of these men have performed in at least one of your plays.
That's right.
A lot of them are lifers.
That's right.
Some happily are not. The nearly unanimous response, first of all, I noticed, is a feeling of accomplishment and self-confidence. It's natural that they would get this because it is an accomplishment. Mm-hmm. But what do you see in this direction since the project all began?
Men that have struggled even to be readers when they joined us become Shakespearean actors in the process. And I have seen men who have never acted before learn major Shakespearean roles and perform them credibly. You could watch their play and say, yes, that's exactly what this character could be like. We've seen that in our Timon performance, our Coriolanus, our scenes from Much Ado with our actor Dogberry. Very interesting performances.
Have to be, and mm-hmm. Now I'm not going to use any proper names, but I will use the parts these men have played. And your Antony mentions it works as a stress relief valve to vent his anger issues. That's incredible to even know that you need to find one, and Antony has.
Antony has struggled with a speech impediment. And in working on the character of Antony, we've really, I think, been able to help him a lot with being able to speak and present and perform as well. When he did the character Borachio from Much Ado About Nothing, really was able to find what that character is. And I really have seen a lot of growth in him as a person, really coming to understand himself a lot better.
It's phenomenal.
And I've really appreciated his personal development as well.
It is remarkable that mm-hmm. this can happen. And again, you're talking about people that, for whatever reasons, whatever at risk or whatever's lacking in mm-hmm. their whole life prior to this time with you, they're more than making up for it. Some of them that probably were thought never to have a chance to do anything.
That's right. Many of the men have said they'd had no idea that they would ever have such an opportunity, or that they'd even be interested in such an opportunity. But when they hear about it and they come and give it a try, when we did Timon of Athens, our lead performer for that had never been an actor before. And honestly, when I first saw him, I wasn't sure he was the right performer for Timon. But he really worked at it and had a lot of adversity in trying to be able to perform it, dealing with prison lockdowns. And yet, the day of the show, I thought he really came through magnificently in communicating this not very well-known Shakespeare character, mm-hmm. but a very interesting one.
Interesting is another thing that kind of ties, of course, your content, your material together, but also your actors. Your old Athenian mentions the accountability and trust and confidence and patience mm-hmm. and so much more, especially coupled with nothing but lasting memories. And he's been in 3 productions over these 4 years.
That's right.
Something, if there are memories in prison, they're all terrible ones.
Well, he would have the memory of when we did the scenes from Much Ado About Nothing, since we could not have a police officer Dogberry, we had a priest Dogberry. And this Dogberry comes from the Black Church. So we had him play Dogberry as a Black Baptist preacher, and he laid the Holy Ghost on on this man that you're talking about. You know, just put the hand on him, and it was quite a remarkable comic moment there.
Right? Transformation. Mm-hmm. And speaking of moments, your mm-hmm. Timon mentions the new voice, new identity, new passion,
sure.
and of course the craft of theater acting. Again, one does not dare hope to get something like this from prison. Usually it's just survival. And this is so much more. And meanwhile, your soldier and citizen in some of these performances has mentioned that he's learning how to speak what he's feeling without words, and that he thinks is something every incarcerated person especially needs to go through. So that's a whole process that he has learned. Plus, he notes he's a Black man learning about Shakespeare, and that's amazing.
Our group is about 50-50 African-American men and white men. Lead roles vary, sometimes white, sometimes Black. We have had men from other heritages as well, but those are the majority groups of men within the prison. One thing that we've been able to see over the years is that this really has brought together Black and white men in common with the interest that they have in performing and studying and learning from each other and taking lead roles, and along the way also learning that they can in fact have an awful lot of fun with each other and trust each other as well.
It's amazing and fantastic. Your Hamlet, in fact, mentions bold confidence, gaining that, which is great, but discipline and focus that has carried over into every part of his life. Commendable to be able to pick up those positive skills in prison and use them in prison life.
Sure, sure.
Now, of your actors of today who will get to be free and go on their business, these are great skills that they can learn, but also even being in the entertainment business, getting to be in movies, getting to perform in others, at least it's a dream.
It is, but it's more than that for a few of the men. I recently saw a movie on HBO. The movie is titled The Letters OG, and this was filmed at Pendleton. And while the movie was being filmed, they used the incarcerated men as extras in this movie. Several of the men that I've worked with in the Shakespeare program are in that film.
That would be your Marcus Andronicus is one?
That's right. He's been in it. Dogberry has been in it. Richard II, some of the others.
That's more of a dream come true, and it all happened, I think, because of this Shakespeare experience.
You know, this sort of came along parallel. While we were working on Coriolanus was when the filming of the movie began. And we had the unusual surprise and privilege of having some rather professional performers, film actors, directors, attend our very first performance.
So that had to be a lot of cred and prestige right there happening.
It was very, very gratifying.
And good for everybody involved. Mm-hmm. Now, another maybe unsung or lesser thought of situation in prison is the combat veteran. And I know that your Richard II notes that he was a Marine combat veteran with post-traumatic stress syndrome. And he calls this a therapeutic valve in helping him work to the combat-related issues, which otherwise he might not get in prison.
At least two of our participants have had military experience, and they are diagnosed with PTSD. They have both said that this has been a therapy for them, and our Antony and our former Coriolanus have also indicated that this has been useful for them in dealing with anger management. So we're not set up as a therapy. We're not drama therapy. But we are doing Shakespeare in the prison, and doing that seems to involve skills that the men are able to use towards dealing with some of these issues.
And perhaps develop to use with some of these issues.
That's right.
That is, as Theseus himself says, people will surprise you if you give them a chance.
Oh, yes, including Theseus. He does. He's grown as an actor as well. He's been in every show since we've begun.
That's fantastic. And there's a tryout process and everything as part of this?
Well, we're actually rather open to anyone who wants to give it a try. So we haven't really done tryouts. We're not auditioning for Chicago Shakespeare. So we have had men that I think some have struggled more than others. But working through it, helping them to do the best that they can and to feel good about the best that they can. And also, the men are interested in helping each other with this. We had a man who, because of prison issues, was not able to attend some of our rehearsals last summer. And on the day of Timon of Athens, he knew his lines, but he did not know his cues. So this man who performed Theseus stood behind a curtain and helped him to know the cues, to know when his lines were. It may have seemed awkward to a viewer, but I thought it was brilliant in the men looking out for each other.
Oh, it's brilliant and a lesson learned, and maybe the biggest point of doing what y'all are doing. I think that's great. Mm-hmm. I also note that words like empathy, developing empathy, come in these answers. And your Lucilius mentions he has developed more in working with others and actually developed another aspect of his life and character with this that has to just melt your heart when you read things like that.
I appreciate all the things that the men say that this helps them with. I also could say that I am happy that they also just approach this and have a lot of fun with it.
And as a professor, you've got that always as your goal, and that has to delight you, yes. Mm-hmm. I do think probably one of the entertaining and certainly most remarkable things I see here, especially over the mic, as I have interviewed in this last year, as a matter of fact, Tom Hofrichter from First Presbyterian Theater, who is a Shakespeare devotee, and Nick Tesh, who is the founder of the Shakespeare Machine, and they totally get into all of this. They are now joined by your you're Flavius, you're Rosalind, with noticing that many, if not all, of the problems that we face today as humans, and I am quoting here, and Americans, and as prisoners, aren't any different from the problems that existed in Shakespeare's time, and we're still here, still fighting the same fights today.
One of the original ideas for our time in show was to actually set it in the prison. We had several weeks of discussion of what that would look like. Ultimately, we did not do that, but I think it was interesting for the men to sort of make those connections as we moved on to what we did do for our setting.
I think that it's pretty remarkable and indicative of the success of this program that more and more you are working with them and encourage them to make their own decisions and to have their own creative thought and ideas and take this and go forward with it as the proud papa of this whole beautiful idea. What's that make you feel like?
Well, I think it's one of the accomplishments of my life that I look back on. I just really think that it helps us to have another view, not an instead of or erase the past. It doesn't erase the past, but it's another view of the men. Part of that view being that they are, in fact, Shakespearean actors. They may not have known that before they joined with us, but they've become such along the way.
It also speaks to redemption, or they're doing their time, they're paying a debt, and they might die still paying that debt.
Redemption is part of it. Yeah. When I said that the men have used this for anger management, I know of a man who has been released from incarceration. He did his time, and anger management was one of his issues. And he learned from performing Coriolanus to actually deal with that anger. To, as he said after the conclusion of that show, he learned not to be like Coriolanus by playing Coriolanus.
It's a dream come true, that kind of success, I would have to say. So big picture, Jack, what do you feel all of this says about the inmates, about the program, and about the Bard himself?
Well, about Shakespeare, I think it says that within his Elizabethan experience, he anticipated, I think, the people who would be interested in his plays, the people that his plays communicate with. About the prison, I think that most of the men sooner or later will complete their sentences. And I think that in general, we'd rather have Shakespearean actors released from prison than those who've learned new ways of getting into trouble. What have I learned? Well, it's one, I know where to go and have an interesting time with Shakespeare, but also an opportunity to see men who have messed up in their lives find a way forward and use something very positive in the humanities. I've said that Shakespeare, Pendleton, and similar programs help us to see the human in the humanities. When we complete a show and we have our debrief, I get the men together and I say, whatever else has been in your past, true of who you have been, one thing is true that can never be taken away, and that is that they are also Shakespearean actors. And we are the first ones within a prison setting to do Coriolanus and Timon of Athens, so you're the first also. History has been made in this setting.
Jack Heller is professor of English at Huntington University and founder and director of Shakespeare at Pendleton. Jack, what a beautiful story you share. Many, many thanks and congratulations to all of you.
Thank you, Julia. It's been my privilege.
That was an arts and culture interview by WBOI's Julia Meek. You can find more of Julia's arts-driven reporting at WBOI.org and on the WBOI Facebook page.